Audience participation suggested. KKFT is Nevada's Fox News FM talk station. 99.1 KKFT. KKFT.
Good morning, Northern Nevada. It is live and it is local, typically with John and Jay, but it is just me, Jay Biggs, solo, bolo, alone this morning here with you on 99.1 FM Talk and Smith and Mason Valley's 92.3. Now, please, folks, bear with me. This is going to be my first ever full-on talk show alone, so who knows what craziness is going to come of this. Supposed to have a co-host this morning. Blake Gunther is going to be in with us at some point, so... It's a good thing, I guess, he's in sales, because if he was in radio and this was a job interview, he'd be fired because he's not here on time. But that's all right. He's going to be in with us in a little bit. Speaking of coming in with us a little bit later on this morning, oh boy, all right, we have got Rick Canale, our local real estate expert. He's going to be in here to talk about everything real estate, just like he is each and every Saturday morning at 9:30 a.m. right here on 99.1 FM Talk and Smith & Mason Valley's 92.3. Then we got a treat for you, Bob Zaney, comedian. Yes, he's going to be live at the Carson Nugget tonight in the 8 o'clock hour, and he has got your tickets right here in the 10 o'clock hour this morning. We're going to be giving you, looks like we have quite a few pairs of tickets to give away to go and see comedian Bob Zaney at the Carson Nugget tonight at 8 p.m. So that should be a fun time there with Bob tonight and, of course, this morning. Art Dogs and Grace, have you heard of that place? Well, if you haven't before... you're going to after this morning, that's for sure, because we have Art Dogs and Grace owner Ted Choley. He's going to be in the house with us this morning to talk about Art Dogs and exactly what it is and what they do over there. Our local historian, he's my favorite historian, it's Phil Galbraith. Now, he's also my traffic sidekick. You hear him throughout the week right here, Monday through Friday, doing those traffic reports before I come in. And he is, I mean... I got to tell you, just since I came on the show with John, I've been wanting to have this guy on, but we've had a couple other Reno historians. But this guy, I'm telling you right now, in between traffic reports, you want to know what he's doing? He's studying Reno. He literally is. Like, this guy is just, he's everything Reno. So he has got an interesting segment. What we're going to touch on, me and Phil this morning, is we're going to talk to folks that are new to the Nevada area. And because there is, I mean, just the bottom line of this is that there is so many new folks to the area from California or wherever it is they're moving from that, you know, when John's on, I mean, John's obviously been here a long time. I first moved to Reno in 1997. So that was the first glimpse I had of Reno. I was back and forth between here and Kansas City, Missouri, until about 2003 when I finally set my roots right here in town. So he knows a lot of stuff from before. And I know stuff after that. So, you know, it's kind of a nice mix match having us, you know, both in here because he remembers, you know, how it was and I know how it is now and we can kind of converse about that. But, you know, the thing is that Reno Phil is going to be in here to tell you about pretty much what you need to know as a brand new Reno resident. So let's just say that. It's going to be fun with him. So you're going to get your fill of Reno with Phil Galbraith, Reno historian here in the 10 o'clock hour. I want to open up the lines as well a little bit later on. We are going to be doing a lot of talking this morning about what maybe you're thankful for. There's a lot to be thankful for. We've got it's Small Business Saturday. I want to touch on that. Also, you know, there's some other things going on as well. We have the elections and I mean a lot of tomfoolery. This time in the morning, usually John's going to do news and comment, but, you know, it's my show this morning. John's not here. And I'm just going to be honest with you. You know, we already give you a news broadcast at the beginning of the show, in the bottom of the hour. I don't think we need to do another news broadcast unless there's something insanely local going on. I don't know if anyone cares about, you know, the sports scores or not. You know, we give you news at the top and the bottom of each every hour. So, I mean, I don't think there's any reason for me to pound that into you again or give you a comment other than just the news is usually full of it. Not Fox News or ours, but usually the MSN. It's like Mark Twain said, right? If you listen to the MSN, you're informed. But if you listen to the MSN, you're ill-informed. That's just my opinion. And if you go to our Facebook page as well, you can check it out. It's Live and Local with John and Jay. We're considered news critics. So, yeah. Anyway, so I'm probably not going to be touching on much news. But I do want to touch on some things this morning right here. And you can always, I just want to make sure you have this in your phone, 775-884-9910. If you have an opinion about anything, you want to talk to me about something, just make sure that it's all kosher. It's not boring. It doesn't suck. You can call us, 775-884-9910. I would love to talk with you. Or if let's just say it's like Lars Larson, if you're a naysayer, would love to hear that as well. All right, so let's talk about this. I thought this was kind of interesting. I'm driving by the East 2nd Street Walmart the other day, and there's some brand new art right at the 395 North on-ramp. There's some brand new art there. It's dogs, and you can tell they're wolves. You know, it's the Indian reservation, you know, so they're trying to make it, you know, look however it is it's supposed to there. And but here's the funny thing. They're not completed yet, and they've got these cages up around them, these chain-link fences. Now, already off the top, when I see the things, I'm thinking to myself, oh, those are going to be destroyed. They're going to be tagged or whatever, you know, that's just not smart. And they look expensive. I would love to know where the money comes for these things. I don't care about these grants and all that. They should be going to things like schools and roads and other stuff, not art on the side of the freeway. But the art in particular I'm talking about right now is rather interesting to me because now as you get off at Glendale, or if you're on Glendale and 395 area there near the Three Nations Plaza going into Walmart, look over there and check it out. But those dogs, in my opinion, should be pit bulls because then it would be more realistic for the area. Just my opinion, if they wanted to. But they've got these chain link fences up over these beautiful wolves, which you can tell eventually are going to not have the chain link fences on them, but they do right now. And it just looks like basically kenneled animals. Not a good look. It doesn't really matter which way you dice it, just in my opinion. Not a good look to have those kenneled dogs, which, but again, if you want it to be more realistic, they should have been pit bulls. That's kind of in that area what people have in those small little kennels back in their house, just being honest. You know, let's keep it real. And that's what I want to do this morning right here. There's no holding back. Someone else, I didn't talk about this. Someone else who's not going to hold back a little bit later on. Brooke Westlake. I know you've heard the name Westlake around town for sure. Yeah, but she's going to be in to talk about the Women in Cannabis Expo. Yeah, this is, and she has a personal story as well to talk about with us in the 11 o'clock hour. So it's going to be a little bit different this morning. You know, John's on a very well-deserved vacation. The guy works hard. You know, I love having John in here. When people come in, I always tell them, I say, you know, this is like a conversation to me. John will do research. He'll find out all these things, which maybe throughout the show you'll see, is the one thing I'm probably lacking. I kind of like to go with the crazy old school fun crash radio style of just come on in, let's sit down, let's talk. You tell me about what you're here to talk about, just like we're having a conversation right now, pretty much. And I would like to talk to somebody about anything. So 775-884-9910 is the phone number. And don't forget, we're also on Facebook, Live and Local with John and Jay. And you can go and stream us anytime at 991fmtalk.com. So I am going to break here in just a moment. But when we get back, let's go ahead and open up the phone lines just for what we're thankful for. I mean, obviously, just a couple days ago was Thanksgiving. We all had some good, hopefully we all had some good time with family. I know I did. It didn't turn out the way I thought it was going to. Maybe you have some stories for dinner. I ended up at the Tamarack Junction. I thought I was going to go to the Atlantis Buffet. You know, it's just me and my two kids. And to be quite honest with you, when I saw the price tag of $59.99 per person, I said, I don't think there's anything really worth that other than maybe a steak dinner. So, yeah, the radio budget just wasn't there for that. And we ended up at the Tamarack Junction, which was delicious, by the way. So props to them over there at the little Capital shop. But either way, we are going to be right back here, folks. We are going to talk about what you are thankful for, Thanksgiving, Black Friday deals, and it's Small Business Saturday. It's all next right here on Live and Local with John and Jay on 99.1 FM Talk and Smith and Mason Valley's 92.3.
Come connected. Connected.
Connecting you to what matters in your town, your state, your country, your world.
Connected.
Connect with FM News Talk 99.1.
Connected.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, we are back right here on Live and Local with John and Jay on 99.1 FM Talk and Smith and Mason Valley's 92.3. We are going to do some traffic right now, brought to you by Ahern Rentals Hardware and Supply, the Carson Valley's favorite hardware store, featuring a full selection of Steel Echo and Walker equipment. Gear up for fall with yard necessities and rugged Carhartt clothing. Ahern Rentals Hardware and supply. Now, let's just take a quick look here at what's going on the Nevada highways. Great news, we're accident-free, so hopefully we can maintain that. Looks like we do have a minor injury collision over in Northern California. CHP is reporting out of Central Truckee at 80 eastbound and Floriston Way on-ramp. That is eastbound, so coming from Truckee towards Northern Nevada. Make sure you watch out there if you're listening on 99.1 coming out of Tahoe. Yeah, we're also there as well. All right, ladies and gentlemen, so as I said, I wanted to open up the phone lines this morning. Our number, save it, 775-884-9910. I would love to hear from you and know exactly what it is that you are thankful for after the Thanksgiving holiday. I can tell you right now for a fact, I'm very thankful for having my children in my life. You know, I went through a divorce about 4 years ago. Completely, you know, changed at 16 years of marriage, you know, so it's a big change. And my kids, thank goodness I have them both with me full time. They love me still. I'm not a complete dud dad, I guess you could say. They laugh at my jokes. I'm not totally corny. But I will say, I absolutely love having children. If you've listened to the show before, you probably have heard my testimonials and stories about the adoption process I went through with them. And it's just, you know, I couldn't have life any other way than what it is right now. I truly do feel a lot of folks out there may be listening who actually came in contact with me through driving Uber. Because believe me, anybody that comes within a couple feet of me, I tell them I'm on 99.1. So you may have heard me, you know, through the radio, or you may just even know me just out and about, because believe me, I'm out there. But I am 100% real. I am the guy who you meet on the street. There's no difference in me and the guy that goes home or the guy that's on the radio. I don't like being fake. I hate fake people. This is why I mostly hate politicians, to be honest with you. And you know, I know this is conservative talk radio, and I'm sure a lot of people are probably over there like, oh, Jay, you know, you have to just push the right no matter what. And believe me, I want the right more than anything else. But I'm an independent free thinker. I always tell my kids, I tell you guys each and every week, there's a saying that is very, very, very important to me. And that saying is, it is better to have questions that can't be answered than answers that can't be questioned. Just because I tell you something, John Potter tells you something, Rick Canale, it doesn't matter who it is, just because we tell you something, you don't have to totally believe us. We want you to actually use your brain, go out and do your own research and figure out what we're saying is true, or, you know, at least come to your own conclusion. Be a free thinker. This is very important in this world right now. We don't have a lot of, for whatever reason, it doesn't feel like a lot of kids are free thinkers. You know, my kids, I just push it constantly on them. Now, a lot of you may or may not have heard before, in 2018, I did kind of a bold thing. I felt like the world was going to heck as far as social media, like the world was more on the same page once you actually got out and started talking to people. So I did a whole year of travel with my kids. I put them in homeschool, bought an RV. We traveled the United States. I called it the Electoral College Tour because I wanted to show everybody, you know, exactly, or, well, my family, that is, the kids, you know, exactly what the USA was all about. I mean, true. Could I put them on a plane, send them to Las Vegas, and they could see Las Vegas? Yeah, but then they would not know what's between Reno and Las Vegas. I mean, there's Urington, there's Hawthorne, there's the Clown Motel. I mean, there's all these cool things that make Nevada, but unless you actually go through them or you know about them, you just think of the big cities, and I just didn't think that was fair. I had a whole year of travel. I wanted to actually go out and take my kids and you know, show them the world. So we did, or at least the United States. I have no reason, honestly, at this point, especially after this COVID crap, to leave the United States. At this point, I think I'm good just staying here, and that kind of sucks. I wish that I had more of a want to leave the country and go to other places. But at this point, I mean, am I wrong? I'm just kind of scared about getting over there, and there's some sort of new COVID or something, and I'm stuck in that country, you know, locked up abroad, basically. And speaking of that, oh boy, I did hear in the news that they're talking about masks again in Los Angeles. Yeah, right, pal. Sorry, that's not happening. Hopefully, they're not going to do any sort of mandates and all that kind of stuff. But if you know me, and just how I am through the whole entire pandemic, I didn't wear a mask one time other than two places. One of them was the doctor. The second was the dispensary, just being honest with you. There's only two places that could get me to wear the mask. Other than that, I wasn't wearing it. You couldn't ask me. If I walked into a business and they said, sir, you need a mask, I just turned right around. Didn't even blink an eye. Because believe me, if you turned me around because you didn't want my money, that's okay. Some other business would take it. And people with like-mindedness, I think they went out and sought it, you know, during the pandemic. And so, you know, there's that. I just think that I don't have any reason that I want to leave the United States to go travel anywhere. So I'm not going to worry about that. And these mask mandates and all that kind of stuff, please. I get it. Listen, there's colds, there's the flu, there's all this. But anytime anything pops up now, are we just going to throw these ideas of having masks on? I still don't believe that inhaling your own breath, if you're really sick, is really a conducive way to make you better. You know, it's just like the respirators when people were on COVID and they were putting people on respirator. Like, really? Like, so you're going to breathe out and breathe back in the COVID, the exact thing that's supposedly making you sick? You know, and again, I've touched on this a million times on this show. You know, my mom passed away during the whole COVID debacle at South Meadows Hospital. And, you know, let's quickly touch on this. I don't know why I'm going here, but I'm just going here because there's no callers. 775-884-9910. Please, if you want to shut me up, you can call me if you got something interesting to say. Or if you don't want to tell us what you're thankful for as well, we can open up the lines for that. But let's talk about this real quick, because during the whole COVID thing, my mom was in South Meadows Hospital. She was on floor 3. I was going and seeing her every day. And this is between September and December of 2020. Every day I was going to South Meadows Hospital. Now, they cut it off and cut it down to where only one person could go in. And so it was just me going in to see my mom every day, taking her meals, just like any son should who cares about their mom. And anyway, so I go in there. I see her daily, and the nurses on floor 3 see me every day. We basically have relationships. At 8 p.m. on New Year's Eve, 8 p.m. New Year's Eve 2020, I receive a call from renowned South Meadows. They tell me that my mom has tested positive for COVID. And yeah, that's like, wow, what a great way to end 2020, right? You know, so anyway, I said, all right, well, just let me know where she's going to end up kind of thing, you know, and I'll come and see her, because I was blocked off from seeing her because she was going to the COVID unit at that point. Well, 2 days pass, don't hear from anybody, can't get a hold of anybody. I finally talked to my mom, and of course she sounds, you know, as you would expect with the, you know, when she talks, which was just, I couldn't believe it, you know, 48 hours earlier, I just saw her, she was fine. And then what happened at that point was I kept going and seeing her at a window for about 3 days as she got worse. And then on the fifth day, when she was in the COVID unit, and I was looking at her through a window there at South Meadows Renown, the nurse that was in the COVID unit with her picks up the phone, looks at me through the window, and she says, James, would you like to come in here and see your mom? And of course, absolutely, 120%. Not even a question. I want to go in there. I don't care if it's the COVID unit. I don't care what unit it is. I want to see my mom and to be with her in her final moments, because I knew she didn't have long. And lo and behold, I drove around the hospital, went right through the ER entrance and right into the back wearing my normal clothes, a normal mask. And man, some crazy things that I observed with this. And still to this day, my girlfriend at the time, the crazy pharmacist that I've talked about on here, she told me, she said, James, she said, this is either the biggest malpractice lawsuit in the history of, you know, of hospitals, or it's not COVID. Because the literal same nurses that were on the third floor the night before that were taking care of other people, and the people that I'd seen throughout, they told me themselves they were down there in the COVID unit that day. And they weren't wearing any special. I've seen people in COVID units, all right? Or at least that's what they try to make us think, is that they're in some sort of underwater deep dive outfit or something like that, you know? And or space outfit. No, these are just normal people walking around with a normal mask. There was nothing covering their hands. In fact, while my mom took her final breath in renowned South Meadows, in the same exact room where they had just a curtain pulled across, was a lady sitting up, no mask, watching television, and eating at the same exact time as my mom was taking her final breath in that room of COVID. So, I don't know. I just think that I get it. When anybody's sick, stay home, please. And that it doesn't matter what it is. You have a fever, you have a cold, flu, whatever it is, stay home. You know, you should be. But I don't know if they should install so much fear in us, especially after what I saw, you know, at renowned South Meadows, with literally the nurses going between floors with healthy patients one day, the next day going to the COVID unit, and back and back and back and back. I mean, if there were people getting infected, it's not surprising. Like, how was that not happening? But anyways, there's that tangent. if you want to go on another tangent with me, 775-884-9910. I just don't want to see masks or anything like that back. I just think it's ridiculous. And of course, as well, one other thing I want to throw in. Just as soon as Sisolak said, stay home, it's almost like it put into my brain, go out more. I was at Walmart every day, absolutely every day during the pandemic. I would look people in the eyes. I was almost, I didn't wear a mask. I was basically begging somebody to be a keyboard warrior in my face. I never encountered any of this. I don't know if it's because I'm a bigger guy or what, but I never encountered any of the, what do they call them, mask holes? Or something like that. I think that's the name for them. But yeah, never encountered any of those while I was out there in the stores or going around. But I definitely was like, nope, not staying home. I have an immune system. Thank God. And well, that's it. All right. Folks, it is time. Just like I said, we have got Fox News here at the bottom of the hour. And then coming in after that, our local real estate expert is Rick Connolly. Once again, our number here, 775-884-9910. So go ahead, folks. Call in if you would like to talk to us. We're going to be right back here with your local real estate expert from RE/MAX Gold on 99.1 FM Talk and Smith & Mason Valley's 92.3.
99.1 KKFT. Talk that matters most. FM Talk 99.1.
Good morning, Northern Nevada. It is live and local with me, Jay Biggs, right here this morning. John Potter's on a very well-deserved vacation. Good morning, Smith and Mason Valley out there, 92.3 Yerington Smith area. And, of course, 99.1 up in Lake Tahoe. And, of course, 99.1 here in the Reno-Sparks, Carson City Metro. So, ladies and gentlemen, we do have a caller right now on the line. And don't forget our number, 775-884-9910. I want to take Randall on. Good morning, Randall, and welcome to Live and Local.
Good morning, sir. I'm giving you a call because I heard you talking about adoption just a short time ago. And I was 66 years old when I finally learned that I had been adopted and all the issues that it has caused me my entire life. But I also wanted to bring up that November is Adoption Awareness Month, and we're coming up to the last week of that, and just wanted to bring it out up there and say for people that don't know much about adoption, for the most part, adoption is very difficult because the adoptees in the United States are not properly supported. They're pretty much left on their own, and it causes an awful lot of issues with the adoptee if they don't deal with it when they're young.
This is very true. You know, and so the thing is that, you know, when I adopted my children, Randall, it was a no-brainer because it was my niece and my nephew. My sister unfortunately had a pretty bad methamphetamine addiction, and she lost the kids to social services. She didn't tell them that she had a brother that could take them. So the kids ended up actually in foster care for about 3 months before I even knew that they were in there. And once I found out, it was like, holy heck, you know, get down there and find out about my niece and my nephew. It was just choiceless. I wasn't going to lose my family with the resources to take care of them, to the system. So it's very important. Randall, did you grow up in the system, or did you have a good supporting family?
Well, what it turns out is my mother was 22 years old and unmarried in Chicago when she got pregnant. And what I've been able to finally put together is that her sister actually worked for my father in Chicago. And exactly how it all took place, I don't know. But somehow this lady by the name of Mary Green connected my biological mother with my adopted family. And back at that time, adoption wasn't something you talked about. They were under the false belief that you could take a child from the mother and strip them of all their identity and reprogram like a computer, and they'll develop into the regular family. But over the last 50 years now, they've come up to the fact that when the child is in the womb being formed, it knows the mother inside and out, and is very close to the mother. Also, if the mother knows that they're going to be giving the child up for adoption, they overproduce cortisol, which goes right to the baby itself. And so all this actually rewires the baby's mind. And when the child is born, when they take the child right away from the mother and give it to a stranger, the child's looking for the mother. And as a result, a number of things happen. First of all, they can't run away. They can't fight. So they have to do what they call freeze. They're right there. They have to shut down from everything. And there's a number of major problems that comes from that, which is rejection, intimacy issues when they get older, identity issues. There's like seven major problems that child will have to deal with. And it's cost me a number of marriages. It's cost me virtually all my relationships. And I didn't find out until I was 66 years old. And that was the first time I started dealing with that. And that was only about 5 years ago.
Randall, we all have traumas that come from everything, you know, like different things. Like, for instance, with myself, I find it hard to trust women in relationships just because it seems like everybody that's like, I was raised by my when I said earlier, my mom that died in Renown South Meadows. Now, that was my maternal grandmother. I was raised by my grandmother because my mom left me. I've had, you know, like an ex-wife, for instance. It's just, you know, so I have like a trauma from it. But Randall, listen, man, it sounds like you're level-headed. Sounds like everything worked out for the best. You found out, exactly. It took long enough, but you finally found out some answers to what you were looking for with that. So that's at least some good news there, right?
Oh, yeah. If I could just say two more things. There's a couple of really good online support groups for adoptees. And one of those, which I'm involved with, is Fireside Adoptees. That's on the internet. And they work really closely with adoptees that are trying to get everything back together. And another one is the National Association of Adoptees and Parents. If there's anybody out there that's adopted, those are excellent resources to try to understand what you're going through.
Randall, you know, thank you very much for that, man. And I want to say thank you for your call this morning. We really appreciate you calling in. And great information right there. True be it that, you need help and support no matter what situation you've gone through. And adoption's traumatic at any age, you know. Like you said, even from birth, you know, a child comes out seeking its mother. So that's one of the things, you know, is that you just need to make sure that you try to keep the family as much together as possible. And later on in life, folks got to be honest about, you know, what's going on with adoptions too, because folks like, you know, Randall, my kids, myself, we want to know about what to expect as far as our health and whatnot as well. And that's something that's very important. Randall, thank you for your call this morning on Live and Local.
You have a good day.
All right, ladies and gentlemen. Yeah, you as well. Thank you. All right, real quick, we're going to break. Just get this out of the way. And then we're going to have a whole entire segment. We're just going to talk real estate with Rick Canale here, like we do each and every morning on 99.1 FM Talk in Smith and Mason Valley on Saturday 9 to noon. So, all right, we're going to be right back here on 99.1 FM Talk.
The FM news and talk of Northern Nevada. 92.3 FM Talk for Mason and Smith Valley. In Reno, Carson, and Douglas County, 99.1 FM Talk.
Good morning, Northern Nevada. It is live and local with Jay Biggs, John Potter on a very well-deserved vacation this morning. And we're going to take a quick look at traffic brought to you by Ahern Reynolds Hardware and Supply, the Carson Valley's favorite hardware store with the best customer service. Don't wander around the big box store. Get the help and supplies you need at Ahern Reynolds Hardware and Supply. Taking a look at traffic, nothing to report. Great news. Let's go ahead and move on with the show as everything's flowing smoothly on the highways and surface streets out there. We have our local real estate expert who's in the house with us each and every Saturday morning, typically at 9:30. We had a caller this morning, so things changed up a little bit. Rick Canale, good morning, sir.
Well, good morning. It's great to be here today, and I just love talking about real estate. I actually enjoyed that last person's conversation about adoption because in my 28 years of law enforcement, family was so very important in our society because it's one of those things where when you have a good functioning family, you have a good society.
And yeah, it's a good system, man.
Yeah.
I mean, you know.
And so when people go through adoptions and are part of that type of thing, they go through challenges, of course, but it's always good to see that people can still have a good life, and that's what we're all here for, right?
Absolutely, man. That's what it's all about. But speaking of a good life, how about having a good life in a good home?
Oh, absolutely.
I think
and when
you
we talk about good home, and exactly right. So today, I'd like to talk about, you know, what homeowners want to know about selling in today's market, because we have experienced a shift since June. I mean, it's been a pretty dramatic shift in many people's eyes, and a lot of things have happened since then. And so I want to talk about three particular issues. And so the first one, if we could talk about, is what if you're thinking about selling your home, you know, you're likely hearing that the housing market is cooling off, right? And interest rates are rising, and they're staying high. Prices are, you know, we've heard over the last couple of years just kept going, skyrocketing at a rate that nobody would even imagine.
Right.
And so the market's changed since then. And so when you're thinking about selling a home, there's three key factors that you really want to address when you are doing this. You know, at the peak of the pandemic frenzy, you know, sellers held all the leverage because inventory was at record low. And buyers are willing to enter into bidding wars over homes that were available, which weren't very many at the time. And they were coming in with over asking price,
right?
Lots of money. So today's market is different than it was then. And even in the last 6 months, it's changed dramatically. And this is hard for sellers to really want to come to grips with because they saw what they were paying their homes for, right? They're paying for higher homes, and when they have to sell now, they're saying, okay, I want that same price that we saw 2 years ago.
Right.
And so there's an adjustment in thinking that has to happen.
Hey, I should have gone to the grocery store and thought about that. I should have asked them, hey, can I get that price from 2 years ago for Thanksgiving?
Yeah. So when we think about it, sellers, you know, they'll want to, if they want to get into a contract and move forward and sell their home, they're going to have to make certain concessions, okay? So we're going to talk a little bit about that today.
All right.
And so the first one has to do with interest rates. The housing market's still cooling down. Active listings are up. Time that homes are for sale on the market has increased. And mortgage rates have been hovering around 7%, okay? And so with the higher mortgage rates and the higher house payments, it's been very difficult for people to come in and buy homes. And so we know that home prices have increased since 2020 about 30%, which is incredible. And it's been good for people who had those homes and have built a strong equity, and which is good about real estate because it is a wealth builder.
Right. I literally just picked up a guy on Uber the other day that's backed up to a little park here in Reno off of Yorey, of all places. Not the best neighborhood in the world, but he said he bought that little house a few years ago when people were begging him to for $115,000, $120,000. He says it's now worth $385,000.
Wow. That's incredible.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, that's something that we're facing. But the forecast of real estate right now is slowing down. It has slowed down. And it's going to continue that pace. But that doesn't mean that when you sell your home, you can't get top dollar. Okay?
Right.
But we have to consider what that is. So when I go into talk about to a person about listing their home, one of the first things I do is talk about pricing. And I like to educate them on what's happening in the market, because it's important that they know that they don't have those expectations that we had a couple years ago, that
right.
they understand. And so what we do is we talk about the comparable markets, the comparable homes out there that have sold and that are on the market. And so these are important things. So when you think about selling your home, you've got to think about negotiating with people now, because you have to look at the price and what buyers are willing to pay. You can say, hey, my home, I bought this home at, say, $700,000, you know, the first part of the year. And now they're expecting more for their home now, when
right.
actually the market has gone down in pricing.
Right.
So we have to help them understand what that is. But then I want them to understand, when you sell your home, think about that first impression that you're going to have. And so how do we do that?
Right. Well, it's going to be, we got to show it, right?
Have to show it. People want to come in and see it.
There's curb appeal.
Curb appeal, that first impression, right?
Right, right, right.
They walk into that house. And I know we've talked about this in the past, but still, it's so important to have that curb appeal, that
first
impression.
It's very important because, Rick, like I've said, when I watch those House Hunter shows and you got the couple that pulls up in front, and she's like, it's not the right color or something. I'm like, but is the basement cracked? The foundation, you know, like, that's what matters. You know, you can change the color. These aesthetics just upset me that people are so superstitious about carpet. The carpet can be tan. It can be black. It can be brown. You can rip it out and put wood in. But is the house good? Is it in the location you want?
That's right.
You know?
All those are key factors that you're talking
right.
about. And then also understand that when you put your home in the market, when you're selling it, and you want to create that first impression, you've got to think about some other things too. A couple years ago, you put your home in the market, it was probably sold within the first 2 hours.
Right.
All right. So now active listings are up by about 33.5%. Okay. New home supply has been up. What's that mean? You've got more competition now. It's not just your home on the market. You've got competing homes out there people who want to sell their homes as well. So the month supply of homes is up. Pending sales is down. And what's happening there is that because of the higher mortgage rates and interest rates, home prices are falling down. There's a smaller profit. So even those people who are flipping homes, when all these things are factored, they're not going in there and buying homes like we saw investors doing back then.
Right.
So we have to consider creating that curb appeal. And so we bring in people who can consult on staging, right? Looking at how we expose that home on the market to people who are online searching, right? So photography, professional photography, Matterport type of where people can walk through the home online and see it and show these impressive pictures.
Right.
And this impressive home that you have that you want to sell. Because people are not just buying the home, they're buying a lifestyle.
Right.
They're buying something that's going to, whatever their purposes are, whether they have a family they want to raise their family in, and they're still looking for value.
Well, see, this doesn't just go with curb appeal. Really, even online, for instance, if you're selling to somebody in, let's say, Los Angeles or something, right, and you want to give it that appeal, that maybe that L.A. bungalow look or something, you can go in and you can actually use, like, CGI now and put in furniture and believe me, I know this stuff because when I was looking for a home, I would sit there and go, oh, my gosh, you can fit all that into that living room. And then I go to see the house, and I'm like, it must have been midget furniture or something from IKEA or something. But you got to make sure you appeal to your buyers because who you're looking for. So it's not just, hey, stick a sign out here and hope that somebody drives by. you've actually got to go out and actively seek people looking for the lifestyle for the home that you're selling.
Absolutely. And that's the key in promotion these days. I've always said there's three things that sell a home. Pricing, I mean, preparation, get the home prepared.
Right.
Pricing it correctly. And then also promotion. And that's what...
A backstory. That's why I talked about a cool backstory, like, I don't know, somebody from Hollywood used to live in this home, even if, you know what I mean? Like, even if it's far-fetched, but it's still the truth, people like backstories and just, you know, having something cool to say about that house that they lived in or, you know.
That's right. That's right. And, you know, when people who are selling their homes now, when they went to buy it, they were looking for the same things. They were looking for value. They were looking for that home that had that wow factor.
Right.
And that's what people are looking for. And so...
So we got about a minute before we go to our break. You're going to stay on with us for another segment, though. So, but let's just whatever we want to just tell these people here before we go to the top of the hour.
Absolutely. So the third point I want to talk about is be realistic. You know, sellers need to do the right things to attract the attention of these buyers. You know, pricing their home competitively and making their listing attractive online to home shoppers are very, very important things to do. Now, I'm not just leaving this here and talking about this, I'm offering something that people can get to that could help them when they're wanting to sell their home.
Right.
And so I'm offering, if they go to my website, Rick Has Sellers, they can get a free report from me that talks about how to prepare your home, how to price your home, and the key factors in getting the top dollar for your home that you need today.
All right. All right. Well, there's that. So, okay, Rick, we're going to be right back here in just a little bit, and we are going to talk about Rick's picks, right? Do you have any Rick's picks for us this week?
I've got one I can talk about.